Well, we're going to do something a little different for Easter this morning. I feel sometimes at Easter that we just don't have enough time to hear the story. Does anybody ever feel that way? Like there's just not enough Sundays to talk about it. You have Palm Sunday, you're talking about that. And so this morning, we are going to do a combination of reading the story, and that's why I have Lisa and Richard. I'm going to have to get your mics a little closer to you guys here. They're going to help me. They're going to help read the story. And we're also going to do some singing together. And so we're going to read parts of the story, and then we're going to kind of respond to that in song. And at the very end, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share kind of your story, what Jesus has done for you, some things that you want to celebrate this morning about how Jesus has impacted your life. So that's kind of the outline that we're going to do this morning. And Jesse, do you have my pick? Yeah, thank you. I could use that. Well, there's a lie that is being perpetrated by the enemy of God, and ultimately our enemy. And that lie is that we are defeated. Anybody ever feel that way sometimes? Discouraged? Defeated at times? I know I feel that way sometimes. Well, that's a lie that Satan likes to bring into our minds. He likes to make us think that there isn't any hope for the situations that we face in life, that we should give up and just let nature take its course. It's no use fighting, no use resisting. Maybe the challenges seem too great sometime, that there are no solutions. And God wants to remind us today that that is all a lie. That if we buy into that, it's not the truth, it's a lie. So today we are here to celebrate. We're here to celebrate a victory, the most important victory in all of human history. And Paul reminds us in Romans 8 that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So like I said, we're going to recount the story this morning. We're going to do some singing about this victory that we have. And we're going to give you an opportunity for some testimony. So let's start with the story. We're going to begin with the chief priests in Matthew 27. We're going to jump around to different gospels. So if you want to follow along, we're going to begin in Matthew 27 with verse 63. And what we find here is that really the chief priests, they had their way. And we recounted some of this on Thursday evening if you were here with us. The forces of darkness had done every despicable thing that they could think of to Jesus, to the point of nailing him to the cross and crucifying him. But yet they were still nervous. And so they went to Pilate.
"Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception would be worse than the first." "Take guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard.
Now, the enemy here had thrown everything that it could at Jesus, even death itself. And they were thinking, surely we have won. Surely we have defeated him. And yet it doesn't seem like they're quite sure. And so they post Roman guards to guard a dead man's tomb. Think how ironic that is, to guard a dead man's tomb. Just to ensure victory. But wait.
After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said.
And what do we say when somebody says he is risen? He is risen indeed. Amen. Let's stand together and sing this song together. Christ arose. And I'd like you to focus especially on the second verse. It says, vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead. And that comes right from this scripture here. Let's sing together.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foe. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foe. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
All right, let's continue on with the story here. Luke chapter 24 gives us a little different angle on the women's encounter when they did not find Jesus' body. And let's pick up the story in Luke 24, verse 4.
While they were wandering about, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen."
He is risen indeed. All right, let's try that again. Lisa, give us that phrase.
Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen.
He is risen indeed. I love that phrase where it says, why do you look for the living among the dead? And it makes me think sometimes that as believers, that sometimes we hang out at the tomb. Think about it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is this a place for believers to linger? A place of defeat? A place of discouragement? This is a place for dead people. That's where the tomb is. It's a place for dead people. So are you feeling overwhelmed maybe, defeated? Or maybe you even feel spiritually dead inside. Maybe you've been hanging out at the tomb. But this isn't a place for us as believers to be staying. We are not defeated. Hope is not lost. And so we don't want to linger there. He's not there. He is risen. Nothing could stop him, not even death itself. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hey, good. All right, let's stand and sing. I had to think of an old song. Stand with me, please. I don't know, I hope you remember it, but it reminds me, it's maybe 20 years old. Alive, alive, little chorus we used to sing 20 years ago, alive forevermore.
Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Is alive.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. You can be seated. Later that day, we find two disciples traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they are talking about all the events that have taken place the past few days. Jesus joins them, asking them what they're talking about, and they do not recognize him.
They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priest and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish are you, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself."
Now, many of us know the facts, don't we? We've heard it a lot of times. We've grown up, as some of us as small children, listening to these stories. But do we really understand? I wonder, do you ever find yourself saying, like these men were saying, "But God, I had hoped that you would work out this situation. But God, I'd hoped that maybe I wouldn't be single. Or, but God, I hoped that my child wouldn't have to go through this painful experience." I don't know what the pain is in your life that you've experienced, but we all go through those times where we cry out and say, "But God, it wasn't supposed to be this way." But they didn't see the whole picture, did they? They didn't see the whole picture, even though it had kind of been laid out for them. They didn't see it. They didn't recognize it. And just like them, I like how this starts. It says when he encountered them, it says that they stood still, their faces downcast. And I wonder sometimes if that's not how believers are. That sometimes we're just standing still, our faces downcast, because we've bought into some of these lies that the enemy throws at us. And Jesus is gently correcting us this morning. Don't be foolish and slow to believe. Have we forgotten the promises he has made to us and all that we have in him? The great inheritance we have both now and forevermore. Christians have every reason to be the most joyful people in the world. And this is our day of celebration.
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen.
He is risen indeed."
"And he has appeared to Simon."
Are not your hearts burning within you this morning? Let's stand together and celebrate. And I thought of another old song. You'll have to pardon me this morning. "Why so downcast?" It comes from the Psalms. "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Oh, why so downcast?
countenance, I will never be ashamed. Oh, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Oh, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God and bless the Lord, oh my soul.
We're going to finish the story here in John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you."
I'm wondering how that comes across to you. Some things that I had to think about is, you notice where they're at. They're locked in a room in fear of the Jews. I'm wondering for us, are we locked in a room sometimes? Our own fears just keep us hemmed in and maybe not victorious in Christ. What room might you be locked in? Jesus has conquered everything. He offers peace beyond any peace that you or I have ever experienced. He offers it to us freely. Are you experiencing that peace? He's sending you to a world that is desperately looking for that hope and that peace. Now, Thomas was not among the disciples. And when he talked with them, he was a bit underwhelmed by their experience. He just doesn't buy it. He's skeptical. He doesn't understand why everybody is so excited. Why everybody has been tricked into believing something like this. He's above all that hype. He's not going to get taken in.
A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
This story was written so that you might believe, and that by believing you might have life, abundant life. For all who believe, this is a day of celebration like no other. Our King has faced everything that the evil one could muster, and he's conquered all of them, even death itself. He is alive, and all those who believe, he's given the ability to overcome everything that we face in this world, any trouble that we face. We need not be discouraged. Now, sure, there are times that we are discouraged, but we don't linger there. We don't need to live in fear. Death has no hold on us. It has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? If you are a believer, today is a time of great celebration. We're going to close with a song, My Redeemer Lives. It's a song that proclaims what we believe about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. So if the worship team could come join me. And then we're going to move into a time for you to share what your story is. what Christ has done for you. Let's go ahead and stand together. To a time for you to share about your Redeemer, and it could be just whatever God lays on your heart. What are you thankful for that He's done for you? What praise do you have to offer? And we also want to pray with you. If you had something that you'd like us to share, a burden with you, and just take it to our Lord, who loves each and every one of us more than any of us can imagine or think. What do you have to share? All right, let's stand together. And is it Shirlene again? Is that right? Okay, let's pray for her. And then I want to close with one last song together. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can come together. You have blessed us in so many ways. We can't recount all of the ways that you have blessed our lives. And we have the victory. You have given it to us. You have conquered death itself. You have conquered you give us the ability to conquer the sin in our lives, that we could be completely forgiven and not have it master us. And just like what was shared here, you have sent us out to be your ambassadors to the world, to proclaim the hope and the truth and the power in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, may we take that challenge to our hearts. Father, we just want to lift up Charlene to you this morning. Lord, you know her life. You know the difficulties that she has faced. You know the challenges that she has right now. And Lord, it doesn't sound like she has a body of friends or believers around her to support her, to lift her up to you. So we want to lift her to you this morning and ask that you would make your presence known in her life in a powerful way. Lord, you know the healing that she needs. We pray for healing, Lord, that you would touch her life. We know that you have the power to heal. And so we pray, believing that you can transform her life as you've transformed many lives around the world. So, Lord, we just leave her in your hands this morning. And Father, I ask that as we move into this next week, as we go past Easter and we move into the rest of the year, may we never forget your great love that is shown to us on the cross. And may we make use of the power that we have in you and through the Holy Spirit. May we be a testimony so that the name of the Lord might be praised and lifted up across the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to close with the last song. I like this song because it says, I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. So the worship team, or several of you want to help me on that, it'd be great.
Sorrow and hassle the night.